Well, good morning. In 2022, under the leadership of Senator Roger Chamberlain, the Senate Republicans held three hearings regarding the Feeding Our Future fraud. Those headlines were going on at that time and really eroding a lot of trust in Minnesotans of the agencies that were responsible for this. Of course, over the course of those hearings, MDE was extremely defensive and took no responsibility for the $250 million of fraud that was happening right underneath their nose. Today, the OAL report demonstrates that we are completely vindicated with our concerns and assessment that MDA had failed to do even the most basic accountability measures to protect the taxpayers and those who were to benefit from the programs. Today, Senator Curran is going to do a review of the report that came out and talk a little bit about what is being found in the OAL report. So, Senator Curran.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. So I am State Senator Mark Curran, represents Chisago and Isani counties just north of the Capitol here. Also serve as the Vice Chair of the Legislative Audit Commission. And so what we want to do is just cover some of the highlights and to the correlation between the discovery of the work that we've done in the Senate as well as what the OLA report shows. So if you've seen it, I think you've all seen, you've got the report. We'd like to thank the OLA for the great work that they've continued to do on trying to bring accountability and transparency to the legislature and their citizens. We know the challenges that our colleagues faced in 2022 to try and get any basic information out of the Department of Education in Minnesota and the entire administration as it relates to this program or when this became evident that there were some wrongdoings. But I also want to make clear that this report, we speak of feeding our future as a global, as this theft of government services. This report focuses on the Department of Education specifically and only as the one nonprofit feeding our future, not the holistic scope of this program as it relates to all nonprofits. And I know you have the report, but we want to tie together just a few things that reflect the work that we did in the Senate in 2022 as it relates to the report from the OLA. First, we want to cover that the report from that we did in the Senate, MDE didn't even follow the basic federal and state laws that were laid out in this program. The OLA report today stated that MDE did not effectively exercise its authority to hold the Feeding Our Future accountable to the program requirements. Just a couple examples here. According to the federal law, if MDE found a sponsor that's not meeting program requirements, it must terminate that company or that agreement. Also, MDE knew in 2021 that Feeding Our Future had no accountant and didn't adequately document their internal financial controls. That was enough, based on the federal rules, to terminate and reject those applications. However, MDE did ask for additional information in these cases, and when Feeding Our Future did not respond, they went ahead and approved those applications anyways. So significant red flags were brought forward, and they continued to just ignore them and move forward and issue those dollars or approve those applications. Secondly, the Senate summary report also said that MDE practiced questionable business practices that would seldom survive in a work environment that had real accountability baked in. Today's OLA report said MDE was ill-prepared to respond to the issues it encountered with Feeding Our Future. A couple examples in that part of the report as well. When property owners, think about it, property owners in the state of Minnesota became aware of this, they notified MDE and said, hey, we're listed as a provider, and we're not. MDE continued to move forward and approve those applications. This is completely unacceptable. There's no culture of accountability investigation. It was MDE's staff and appointees trusted by everyone to do the right thing all the time. Our job is not to trust everyone to do the right thing at all time. Government's job is to make sure that we verify and hold and provide for the investigation, identification, and prosecution of fraud when it's suspected. Our job is to hold them accountable. They're the regulatory body, regardless of their entity and or their responsibilities. And finally, the Senate summary said that MDE lacked administrative direction that seems divorced from reality and what was demanded of it. The OLA report says MDE failed to act on warning signs known to the department prior to the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic and prior to the start of this alleged fraud. Their findings in the report you'll find that these questions or these challenges started back in 2018 in the oversight of this program before the large expansion of the program. Some of the other examples in the report that before COVID, Feeding Our Future had exponential growth that was unusual by every metric. By October 2019, Feeding Our Future had 6 times the number of sites as the average sponsor. Feeding Our Future had 70 sites. The average site for a sponsor was 12. MDE did an administrative review and found concerning issues and said that they would follow up and told the Senate committee that they would. They worked on the Feeding Our Future to develop a corrective plan. So their goal was then to work with them. And we should work with, and everybody, it's about education and making sure they understand it. But it's also about accountability. According to the OLA, MDE never followed up on a single thing on that particular issue in the review. So when the floodgates opened to COVID funding, which had a significant influx of dollars in the program at that time, Feeding Our Future started siphoning off one in every $4 of that program from these nutrition programs. And to me, it is the most egregious. It's just unacceptable that MDE had everything it needed to shut down Feeding Our Future long before COVID ever began. To summarize, it's obvious to us today, as it was in 2022, the responsibility for the massive fraud for these nutrition programs could have been stopped and the control measures put in place long before this ever began. Simply following the federal guidelines and laws and conducting basic accountability measures and following through on your obligations is all it would take. That never happened, and the taxpayers and hungry children were robbed of $250 million and maybe even more. And so those are just some of the examples. And just to leave you with, before we take questions, Senator Johnson has some follow-up comments as well before we take questions. But we're really at the 50-yard line when you think about this program. You guys have followed the federal investigations. You've been a variety of investigative reporters out there who have identified additional information. This report solely focused on MDE, their controls, and Feeding Our Future. Through the federal investigation, they've also identified that almost 50% of the people charged in the Feeding Our Future fraud were also contractors or vendors of the state of Minnesota today, specifically in the Department of Human Services. I think one of the people convicted had received $49 million in other program dollars through the Department of Health and Human Services. We've also seen challenges in that environment. So the work that's necessary, or with the investigation at the federal level continuing, and the discoveries with the legislative auditor that they've and the work that they've done, it's extensive. This report is not the largest they've ever done, but it certainly is one of the most extensive. The work that they've found, they've continued, as they do in everything, provide referrals to the law enforcement, but also the discovery of the federal investigations that the tentacles reach far and wide. And the OLA is responsible for helping figure out and to provide us with the transparency at the legislature and the accountability to how pervasive was that across all agencies, and what's the status of those people who are charged, and what's the role in their other obligations as a vendor to the state of Minnesota. And so with that, I'll turn it back over to Senator Johnson. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Senator Curran. Look, we're gonna recap what had happened here in the past, but we wanna make sure that we're talking about accountability here. You can't just let $250 million go out fraudulently and expect no consequences to happen. Commissioners usually lose jobs over this. And yet two commissioners have left MDE with glowing reviews. And they were the ones that were responsible or had oversight over MDE during this time of Feeding Our Future fraud. This administration has gone so far as to suggest that they helped to stop this fraud as well. But what we learned in the OAL report is that it was actually the FBI that came and told MDE that somebody had complained to them, had a complaint, and that they went to MDE then and actually started this investigation with MDE. This is included, and you'll find that in the report itself in pages 65 and 66. Here, I'll just read that for you. The Federal Bureau of Investigation notified MDE of the allegations it received involving Feeding Our Future, all of which would later be reflected in the federal charges filed in 22 and 24. This is just the words that we've heard from MDE, the defensiveness that they have had during this time, really are completely flying back in their face right now. This was something that they should have been picking up on. They had the authority to do so, but they didn't do that. This is stunning. The Department of Education and Governor Walz have repeatedly tried to tell the public that they did all they could. They did everything that they possibly could in trying to stop the nation's largest fraud cases. But this report clearly demonstrates that that was a false narrative. So Governor Walz's administration is probably one of the least transparent and accountable in modern history. When reporters asked DHS to check to see if anyone charged with the Feeding Our Future fraud was also involved with DHS funding and other sources and other ways, there's a lot of ties there. The administration took 7 months to get back to them. And did they come out with a full report and tell them the details? No. They said, hey, we see there was problems, we fixed them, don't need to worry about this. The OAL seems to be the only ones that can get to the bottom of things. Think about all the fraud that has happened here in Minnesota. They found, the OAL has found $205 million of unverified frontline worker pay, $305 million in overpayments to Rent Help Minnesota, millions of fraud over the years from DHS programs for child care assistance, adult daycare, and opioid treatment, and the list goes on. If nothing changes, nothing changes. Either Governor Walz starts holding his political appointed commissioners and other staff accountable, and we stop the waste and fraud, or this is going to continue. Without political change or willpower from the Democrats to do so, something else needs to change. And hopefully this November, people remember this and what's going on right now in the state of Minnesota and hold their electeds accountable for what's happening. And quite frankly, we're disappointed in this. We don't want to see this. If we're going to have state programs, we got to make sure that our agencies are being accountable for the actions that they're taking, not only to taxpayers, but those who they are supposed to be benefiting. And that's why this is such an outrage to Minnesotans. At this point, we'll open it up for questions and take comments.
The report says that the FBI notified MDE of irregularities. Okay. The report does not say whether the FBI did that before the MDE had communication with the FBI, as the administration claims. Did you ask the state auditor whether, in fact, the FBI communication was the first communication regarding this?
Well, if you look in the report, or,
maybe it's
so, do you want to take
so that? So in that case, there is an exhibit. I do not have that off the top of my head.
It's flagged now.
Oh.
Right there.
Okay. Senator Johnson has it.
For here, I can quote this to you if you'd like too.
Very well might have missed it, so I appreciate that.
So the FBI notified MDE of allegations it received involving Feeding Our Futures, all of which have been later reflected in the federal criminal charges. And then there's a footnote there in 66, footnote 8, that we'll talk a little bit further about that as well, too, about how that communication was initiated by the FBI.
Are we clear that the first communication on this was from the FBI?
According to the report, yes.
According to the OLA and their investigation, very clear, and the exhibit is included as a reference in the document, that the Walz administration did not notify them. In addition to, right, there's a criminal state statute that requires every state employee, and they get it with their annual review, includes the executive office, that any suspected fraud must then be that person is obligated, again under that same criminal statute, to notify the legislative auditor. So their excuse that they did notify, which has then been countered, that they didn't notify the FBI and that would absolve them from meeting that state criminal statute for every single state employee, it does not absolve them of that. And this report shows, one, they were not truthful in that particular scenario, but every single person involved with this violated a state criminal statute by not notifying the OLA. And so remember, the OLA received this report, or when they were notified, it was the same time you and I were notified in the public in a news story, 2 years after the first suspected fraud was identified.
And just one additional, if I may, and I don't want to hog this. The administration said, has said repeatedly that they notified the FBI, and as a result, this has resulted in criminal prosecution. Is that a falsehood? Or I'd like to get your reaction to that.
It's 100% falsehood, and I think the OLA report and the reference to the information in the specific email in that report, you will find many details that will confirm that the FBI notified the state agency. So, and again, those are the challenges that we have. And there's many details. It's a long and detailed report. I'm sure you're trying to consume it as we are. We get it at the same time you do. But able to read through it and understand the lack of oversight. And when we talk about programs, we're not talking about a complicated program from the perspective of this has been in existence for a long time. Many of our public school systems operate and receive these dollars, so they've had the ability to manage this program for many, many years. In this case, the red flags were so large and so broad, all they had to do was go buy a facility. Think about the first business that came up and said, I'm listed as a vendor site, and no one went out to verify that, even when the business owner themselves called, and those applications were approved and continually allowed. I think one of them that were of the seven prosecuted or this last week or the last few weeks was a city park. It's unacceptable. We're talking about really basic things that could have been taken care of. A 14-year-old with a spreadsheet that says, does the city of Winona, or I think it was Wilmer, do they have 5,000 children that exist in the city? They didn't. And so there's so many gross anomalies here that ran red flags that they chose not to act on.
The report mentions that the legislature could enact more rule-making authority for MDE. Yeah. What do you think of that, or is there other legislative changes that could help?
So those are the same, great question. Those are the same things that they've said in all of the investigations that they didn't have the authority. The legislative audit report clearly identifies they had all the authority as the agency from state law as well as the federal law and requirements because of the federal funding. In addition to, I think there's a statute that requires the Department of Education to notify the legislature of necessary capabilities and changes that they need to further enhance it. And I can tell you, as a legislator, if they would have come to us and said, wow, we're seeing something, we're missing some capability, we would have acted very quickly. And so it's not an excuse. They had all the capabilities, and they did not do anything to inform the legislature that we're aware of for the 2023 or 2024 legislative cycle, which we just passed, to further enhance or request capabilities.
It may not be an excuse, but can you actually take action to give them more rulemaking, kind of to take away any excuse that they may have in the future?
If you don't mind, just so really they're responsible for two things, the MDE and this program. They had two main responsibilities. One was an annual review of the applicants. So this was an annual renewal for the sponsors themselves, like Feeding Our Future. So they could have caught it then. The other thing that they are responsible for is site visits. Those were the two things clearly laid out in the report. And those are the two biggest failures that we saw with Feeding Our Future, are the two things they are tasked with, and that's their authority to do. So any other rulemaking at this point, I think, is something that maybe it would cut around the edges, but the reality is this is the meat and potatoes of their responsibility, and they did not do it.
They did some site visits, but not an adequate number. Can you elaborate on that a bit, Mr. Meager?
Well, I mean, you could.
I'm not aware of any site visits, but virtual site visits. They did desk audits because I think it fell under the guise of the COVID emergency. They could have gotten their cars, state-issued cars that many of them have, and just sat in a parking lot, right, in a very safe environment during the pandemic. They didn't do any of that. But many of the things they referenced were desk audits, and even then, with a simple spreadsheet, they would have been able to see the gross anomalies that caused much further investigation. So.
Is any of this at all a symptom of kind of just the extraordinary amount of money that was coming to the federal government for these sorts of COVID programs? And, you know, by the admission of Republicans and Democrats in Congress, there was this thinking of, we need to help people now, look at paycheck protection program fraud that existed in some states, right? That there was this kind of understanding that we just got to get it out there and we'll deal with it later. Is this at all related, or you think that MDE could have, you know, absolutely stopped this, or was it so much money that it would be impossible to catch it all?
Well, I think because of the rapid, you know, increase in the dollars, but their lack of oversight and the agency's lack of process started in 2018, 2019, where the first time they discovered that they didn't have effective controls on the existing vendors. Then to further exacerbate with the dollars, again, we're not talking about just because of the dollars and just because, right, I think they had some waivers and those types of things, didn't absolve them of the responsibility to execute and confirm that those dollars, to be good stewards, went to those in true need. And so think about the scenario. They said, well, they couldn't go out, right? They had everybody hold up this. They, in personnel, during the heart of this, were all locked up at home. But all the kids and supposedly were in line, thousands at a time, to get two meals a day, which didn't exist. And so we're talking about something that's safe and effective that they could have just sat in their car, because it's so egregious that the red flags were blinding. And so they should have taken action.
Yeah, and to follow up on that as well, too. I mean, I am not going to go back and look at my constituents in the eye and say, hey, look, they had too much money to be careful with. They had too much money to be agents and careful with the dollars that were going out. There's no way that you can justify the amount of fraud and what happened here simply by, well, there's too many dollars that we had to get out. That is a extremely poor excuse, and I don't think that can justify anything, especially to this degree, where we're losing $250 million that should have been going to kids, that should not have been wasted on fraud.
But are there some lessons here in that the urgency, and it was more came from, like, federal policymakers who threw the money at the states, but, you know, you guys were in special session during all of those, especially during COVID, there was an urgency to help people. Is there any lessons you take from that coupled with this and maybe some other instances of fraud that happened with this money?
Well, apparently we have to be looking at our agencies and what's happening here, who's running those agencies, to make sure that they're being held accountable. Look, we hire these people, we pay them very well to do the jobs that they're doing, and here we can see clearly that the things that we've tasked them with, they've even failed at those two simple things. And so, yeah, there's lessons that we can be learned. We have to make sure that we have competent people running these agencies, because there's a massive amount of resources, a massive amount of responsibility that we're putting in their hands, and they've failed.
The legislature has approved changes in 2023 and 2024 related to these programs and MDE's oversight. Are there additional changes you think in the future the legislature should consider related to these programs?
From my perspective, my entire existence is about getting accountability in government. So I think really we need, right, I think you're going to hear today the solution is, well, we created an inspector general office in the Department of Education. Okay. That hasn't stopped or squelched the fraud in the Department of Health and Human Services, where we've seen the same gross violations and theft of resources. It's not just theft of taxpayer dollars. It's a theft of services to needy people. And so, to me, we have to have a very broad look at how do we have, in my personal opinion, you'll see my bill will be really focusing on an office of maybe an inspector general that's outside of the executive office or an agency that it has all the capability to identify and investigate and prosecute fraud, government theft of government services, fraud, waste, and abuse, maybe working harmoniously in conjunction with the legislative auditor. But something more global, because many of these entities, these nonprofits, receive funding from 1 to 10 different state agencies. And so we need somebody that looks at it holistically and is not beholden to a particular commissioner or the administration when they find gross acts of what they deem as criminal or organized crime, that they're not going to be redirected from pursuing those. And we've seen that over and over and again, even where inspector general's offices exist, like in the Department of Human Services.
Senator, we've talked about, I think maybe use the term tentacles,
yes.
In other words, talking about connections between defendants and other state agencies.
Yep.
You're on the OLA, on the Legislative Audit Commission.
I've been the chair or the vice chair of the Legislative Audit Commission, correct.
Yeah, I'm confusing my acronyms here, sorry. And my question of you is, this is obviously a very extensive legislative auditor's report. Is another one warranted, or even a more broadly reaching report? And if so, are you going to push for that?
Absolutely. So we're in alignment. So the and many of the things that the OLA cannot provide is the details because it's an ongoing investigation, right? It's so broad. They're just finding out today, right? I mean, every day somebody showed up with a bag of cash, starts out a new investigation in the tentacles to see what is. What their job and or responsibility will be is to look at its impact on all state agencies to inform us, the Legislative Audit Commission, thus the legislature, to take further action. But we need to go and make sure that each of those vendors that have, I think half of them, like I said, are also current providers in the Department of Human Services, that they will likely go in and review and see if there are any anomalies, and to make sure that the agencies were also performing the proper checks on those programs to make sure that nothing is, that this doesn't reach broader than the theft of these services for this particular program. But that's their obligation. And so the tentacles are reaching far and wide. Based on what the OLA has found, they have many vehicles where they're doing additional referrals to the FBI, in addition to all of the things they've discovered that they have to have further report. So now, how will that look, or what will that look like? It will likely come out in a variety of piecemeal that we've completed this portion of a review as it reaches into MD or the Department of Human Services or otherwise. But they're kind of on call yet. The FBI still has hundreds of people investigating this, and so they're going to have more and more work. But when they can complete it, we will then have, I don't know if it'll be an official report, but it will be an acknowledgement, and we'll make that information public.
Two questions that suggests. Do they have the resources to do that? And the second question is, if this comes out piecemeal, does it dilute the effect of it politically so that you don't, I mean, frankly, they don't get as much traction? Oh, there's another OLA report,
Okay. So if they could do it, right, we would like to see it holistically. But the nature of it and the scope and scale has been, I think everybody's been astounded by what has been found today. As we look into the future, do they have resources? We've added, now, some of our people would look at me and say, it's probably the only state agency I would increase resources. And we have done that. But the scope and performance of our state agencies today warrant an expansion of the legislative auditor so we can get more regular and frequent oversight of the core responsibilities, and maybe they could head off some of this even when agencies aren't acting. And so, and then to the scope of this one, although it was broad and extensive, it's still very narrow to Department of Education and Speeding Our Future. And even within it, there were resource constraints to be able to do and to dig down in every tentacle in the most this quickest time frame possible.
What do you think, Mr. Leader, that Governor Walz ought to do?
Well, I think he needs to start ensuring Minnesotans that his agencies are acting according to the law. You know, the authority that we have given those agencies, the oversight that they have over the programs that we are funding. We have a $72 billion state budget right now. It grew by 40% under Democrat control. They spent $19 billion of our surplus, raised taxes by $10 billion. What are we doing with that money? Is it going to fraudsters all over the state and the country and the world? Or is it benefiting Minnesotans? The governor needs to reassure Minnesotans right now that the money that they are taking away from Minnesota families and communities and businesses are going to things that are benefiting this state. And clearly, this report, 100 pages of it, is showing that it's not.
These portion of this happened under the trifecta. Is this serious enough that voters ought to turn control of the Minnesota House of Representatives over to Republicans, and ultimately perhaps the Senate? Is it serious enough?
I would argue the Senate as well, yes, but...
Please, I'm leading you on that question,
Yes, Minnesotans want a responsible government. And over the last 2 years, Democrat trifecta has proved that it's not a responsible government. And we see this in reports like this right now. And so we need to make sure that we get that balance back in politics here in this state. We've been known for that. Now let's get back there. And we've got a chance to do that this fall.
I would add to, you're seeing today the response from the administration through his commissioners, which he appoints. We just did a report where the legislative auditor couldn't identify $205 million on the frontline worker program. The commissioner responsible for that, Department of Labor and Industry, gave us, we've never seen in the legislative audit report, 8 pages rebutting every facet of that report. Every facet. So when you look at the trends, they are hostile. They're not even one bit they believe that they're responsible, and they're doubling down that while we blame the people. I think the commissioner of MDE, the new one, it will be interesting to see if the hostility continues in this in the report or the hearing today. But you're seeing it across the board, the arrogance and the complicit nature that they're blaming others. There's only one group, one person to blame. It's the governor and who he appointed. And we continually see in the legislative auditor, and just for you guys to understand, the legislative auditor, the Legislative Audit Commission is 12 members, 3 members from each body. I may or may not agree with some policies that have been implemented, but we fight really hard in the Legislative Audit Commission to ensure that all resources that are defined or allocated to that program work in the manner they should, respecting public dollars and resources. And so we find great unity from that commission to make sure and hold everybody accountable. So,
probably time for one more. I know it's been about half an hour here.
There was a judicial ruling that at least in some ways affected their ability to do anything here. They were told, they were held in contempt for not processing Feeding Our Future applications. So, I mean, we've talked about the legislative branch's role, the executive branch's role, is the judicial also somewhat accountable?
And the report calls that out very clearly. And you remember, unprecedented response from the judge. Based on the Walz administration and their translation or blaming that it somehow restricted their capabilities to functionally manage that program, and it didn't. And the reports clearly show that, again, the judge had to come out and say, no, I didn't restrict your ability to provide oversight in any way, shape, or form. The federal law and the state laws gave them all the capabilities to do what was necessary, and they failed to take action.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.